what our topic is today, is that Christ is our high priest. And the more you follow the Lord, the more you have to see, I have a high priest. I have a high priest. Even Paul says this. I'll start here. The main point, what has been said, is this. We have such a high priest. Aren't you glad that when the Bible is so confusing, you're like, what is the point? And then Paul says what the point is. The main point, thank you, is that we have such a high priest. And when I talk about Christ being the high priest, I want to give a little distinction about, like, maybe the common Christian view about Jesus versus the view in the book of Hebrews, especially, of Christ as our high priest. The common Christian viewpoint about Jesus deals with what Jesus did before and up to his death and resurrection. Okay, that is very important. I'm not downplaying that, but that is his living and his work to accomplish redemption and carry out the work of forgiveness of sins. And he died on the cross to forgive your sins. And that is solid, and it's important. But when we talk about Christ being the high priest, you have to realize he became high priest when he was resurrected and ascended. And then he is high priest right now. Before that time, you look at Jesus and he wasn't high priest. He was made high priest in his ascension when God placed him there in that position and then said, you know what? Now I swear you are high priest according to the order of Melchizedek, which we won't get into. But right now, what he's doing is he's like a priest to you. So when you think about, like, his earthly ministry, what you think about is this: he forgave my sin. He lived a life of compassion, and he had a certain kind of testimony of what the Father was like. That was his earthly ministry. But when you think about his heavenly ministry as high priest, it is this: how is he aiding you? How is he comforting you? How is he encouraging you to follow him today? Today, right now. So some Christians have this thought: hey, I believed in Jesus, I got my sins cleansed, and now I'm waiting to go to heaven, and I just want to drag as many people as possible with me. And I would say, no, there is so much more that he wants you to be involved with today. It's a life with him today. And, so he's obtained a more excellent ministry. It's like he's ministering today. So you could say, like, hey, I need something today. Lord, I need grace today. And that's where I've obtained a more excellent ministry, by as much as he is also mediator of a better covenant, which has been enacted on better promises. When you see Christ as high priest, what you have to realize is this: I need his ministry to me today. And I gave this illustration last week. There was a sister, bless her heart. And then she said, Rex, I do not want to be part of this church. I said, why? Because there are a lot of needy people there. And then that means I will have to, like, you know, minister to them. And then underneath that, she's like, I'm better. I'm not needy. So why would I be part of the church? Because then I would just have to minister. It's very interesting because she did, in fact, join us. She's not joining us. She's anyway very sick right now. But it was interesting. Like a couple years later, you know who's the one that needed something? That very sister. And then you just realize, I need a high priest. I need a high priest. I need someone to minister to me. And that is where that's where he comes in as like he obtained a more excellent ministry. He's a mediator of a better covenant, which has been enacted upon better promises. And he's a high priest. And I'll give kind of more illustrations. It'll become a little clearer. It's a high priest. And then just like the priesthood in the Old Testament, you know, there were priests in the Old Testament, and they were kind of ministering to God and to people. And like, you know, if you were an Israelite, you would go to the temple and you would do a lot of things, offer sacrifices, et cetera, have prayers. And then the high priest there was kind of mediating between the way God intended to work with his people according to those rules, that's called a covenant, and the way that it would be carried out. And so you want to like, I want to offer this sacrifice for my sins. And then the priest had something to do with that. Okay, well, that whole old covenant was faulty because the people who were exercising their religious, you know, duties at that time really fell short of knowing God. And so this is what this is Hebrew. And so Christ is a high priest, but it's a different covenant, like a different set of rules, a different set of rules. Okay, so Hebrew says, if that first covenant had been faultless, there would have been no occasion sought for a second. For finding fault with them, he says, behold, days are coming, says the Lord, when I will effect a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Not like the covenant which I made with their fathers on the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt. For they did not continue in my covenant, and I did not care for them, says the Lord. So that was a story of the new covenant, of the old covenant. You know, people saw, the children of Israel saw great, wonderful things. The Red Sea parted before them. Every morning they had manna fall from heaven, and they ate from it, and they saw so many miracles. But you know what? They did not continue in that covenant, and they began to worship idols. They began to turn away from God himself, and they just began to not be able to be aligned with the Lord. And so God says, you know what? This whole covenant, it's not working. There's a fault, not because the words were bad, but because it depended on people who were faulty. And so this is a new covenant. And I'll give this quick illustration. This is a covenant I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws into their mind, and I will write them on their hearts. So, JD, you can be my illustration. So, just real fast, because we don't want to spend a lot of time here, but this was the old covenant. This was the old covenant. Thou shalt not lie. You have to say amen.
Amen.
Thou shalt not covet.
Amen.
Go do it. Yeah. And then here, I'll show what a lie is. How's it going?
Good.
See, he just lied. This is the new covenant. It's different. I will put my laws in their mind. I'm with the high priest. And I actually change you. So I'll put them in your mind. And then I will write them on their hearts. So just have a time with the Lord. You're just enjoying the Lord. Pray a little bit.
Lord, thank you.
Yeah, yeah. And then while he's doing that, you know what the Lord does? This. Like, this is the Holy Spirit pen. It's like different. You know, in your mind means this, that you know them inside. And in your heart, you want to do them. You love them. And then it's like, wow, this is so different. Like the old covenant was don't covet. But the new covenant is this, no coveting. It's like, oh my goodness, I'm different. And then thank you, JD. And then you're a different person. Not because you tried, not because you are learning all the new rules to follow, but you change because Christ, as the high priest, changed things in your heart. So I talked to this one brother, and he had an alcohol problem, and then I know all these different things. I'm warned about this, but you know what? God took the cravings away. He just took those cravings away. So he can testify, the Lord took my craving away. And where was that from? It was from, there was a writing on his heart. There was an impartation in his mind. And you know what? The Lord Jesus Christ, as the high priest, just took that away. It's like, wow, there's a change. There's a change. Okay, this is the second thing. I will write. That's the first thing. This is the second thing. I will be their God. And they shall be my people. You know, I don't know if I can do this, but I like to poke religious people in the eye. If you're a religious person, you can't say, he's my God. I'm his people. You can't say it. You're just surfacey. You're surfacey. What does it mean? You know, this is part of the covenant. This is what the high priest does. He causes you to say, he is my God. And then if you're a religious person, you can't say that. You can't say that. A religious person can just criticize and condemn other people. I'll give an illustration, and then I don't know if I'll get this point across. But I don't like religious people. Well, I don't like being religious. If you're a religious person, you can still hang out with me, but I'll try to make you change. The religious person is like, there's something about Christ that you're doing without Christ. You're doing it without Christ. It's like, is he really my God? If he's really my God, then it means I don't just have like the name of God. I actually see him as my provider. And I see that what he is has become real to me. I could see him. And then, you know, I could see him as like, wow, he really saved me. He really regenerated. He really sanctifies me. He really justifies me. He really provides for me. He really comforts me. He really is the one who is interested in bringing me into his covenant, his relationship. I can say that he's my God. You just think about, like, wow, he's my God. And you think about whatever that is implied with God is not a distant thing. It's not like, oh, somebody is like far away or like in a distant kind of thing. It's like, no, he is my God. You know, Christ is the one who is sanctification. And then you may just wonder, like, wow, Christ, how are you sanctification? And then you just realize in your life, actually, he sanctified me. And it's like in his presence, you have this enjoyment of the Lord. You have the Lord's presence. And you just realize, like, wow, he is so close. Let me tell you two examples of religious people that are, you know, because I want to try to get this. One time we were having the Lord's table on Thursday night, communion on Thursday night. And then, you know, like in the Bible, it's like on the first day of the week, we gather together to break bread. But there's no rule about like having it other days. You could have it every day if you want. So this person came and was appalled. I can't believe you're having the Lord's table on Thursday. I can't be corrupted. And then I found out she's living with her boyfriend, not married. Like, what? And accusing is God. Your God. Are you his people? It's like something you see of the presence of the Lord. Something you see, like, wow. And okay, that's one example. Another one. How is God in your life? How's God in your life? Well, he got me this job. He caused me to move here. He protected me. Okay. I'm not like opposed to that. But I would say there needs to be something more. There needs to be something more. It's like, because it can be outward. Like, people who without Christ get the job. People without Christ, they also move. And the Lord may have like been over those things. But I'm saying, like, that is not like the only thing there is about God being your God. When God is your God, you know what? There's something that you just realize, wow, he is working in me. He is not only guiding me, but all of the things that are like carried out in Christ towards us, they become alive. They become something of my experience. I could genuinely say, God is my God. Why? Because I don't just know he forgives. I've tasted the forgiveness. I don't just know he gives me a holy life. I've tasted that holy life. I don't just know that he has a purpose. I have experienced a purpose within me that he put in there. And I can say, he is my God. It's so different from being religious. So different from being religious. Religious is acting. Religion is putting on a show. Religion is condemning other people. Religion is like being false. Religion is all kinds of things that... If you want to know how Jesus feels about religion, you should see how he talks to the Pharisees. You cleanse the outside of the cup, but inside it's full of dead man's bones. You know, the high priest is this. I want to make this real to you. I want to make myself real to you so that, you know what? I will be their God. Some people say, like, Rex, could you ever just give up Christ? And then I would just say, like, I can't give up what is part of me. It's like, that would be just like giving up. It's not just like I came to this by being convinced or I philosophically assent at this and there may be some other thing that comes along. No, there's something like I've just experienced this and I know it. And I just have a sense he is my God. That's the new covenant. That's the new covenant. And then, oh yeah, it's so fun. It's so fun. I'll tell you how fun it is. When he's your God, if you're a religious, you wash the dishes alone. You wash your dishes alone. If you're religious, you wash your dishes alone. Okay, just gotta wash my dishes, and then I gotta go to church. Okay, gotta go to church. Look nice. Then you go back, wash the dishes. I'm washing dishes, and I'm just washing the dishes, and then my dish falls, and like, you know, all this kind of stuff comes out, and then all these things come out of my mouth because of dishes, and then it's like, oh, I gotta go to church. I gotta go to church. Straighten up. But if you're, if he's your God, you know what? You can wash the dishes with Jesus. I'm washing dishes. I just have the presence of the Lord. I have the presence of the Lord. If you're religious, you'll have a certain kind of family life where outside the family life, it's all show. And then in the family life, you know what? It's you. If you're not religious, God is your God. How do I talk to my wife? It's from the Lord. How do I talk to my husband? It is from the Lord. How do I wash those dishes? It's from the Lord. And you know, you just have a, you know, when you wash those dishes, you could be singing a song. Jesus. What's a song about cleansing? What's a good song about cleansing? Yeah, that's good. Yeah. Cleanse me with your spirit now. And then I'm cleansing the plate. Cleanse me with your spirit now. And then wash, strip me holy, wash me thoroughly, cleanse me with thy spirit now. You know what? Jesus is in my dishwashing. It's his God. He's your God. He's your God. So everything about God becomes so real to you. And then in the Old Testament, it wasn't this way at all. In the Old Testament, it wasn't this way at all. But because Christ is the high priest, he wants to cause every part of your life to be filled with him. And then you shall be my people. People should see you're his people. People should see you're his people. One time, and then this is kind of weird. When we were buying this building, it was a group of Indians. We bought them from a group of Indians owned it, and then you know, we had discussions about idols, discussions about all this stuff, and then it was gonna like somehow like the Indians were gonna have an event, and. And then it was an outside event. And so one of them came to me and said, hey, you know God, can you ask him to not have it rain this time. And I was like, well, okay. Okay. They shall be my people. Okay, that's a pretty severe illustration. Because I was thinking about, like, what about the farmers? They might want rain. So who would I... Anyway, I just got all into my, it's like, what? But maybe the farmers want rain. And then maybe, but then, so why would, anyway. Okay. But it just be obvious. Like, you know what? You're a person of God. I will be their God. And they shall be my people. It's like, oh, I'm a person. And then that means I'm chosen by him. I am given to him. He made a covenant with me. He saved me from the sins. He called me by his grace and spirit. I give myself up to him. I've consecrated myself to him. You ask me like, what am I really for? I am really for the purpose of Christ. I'm for Christ himself. I am a person of God. You know, in the end, I'll just end with this verse. They shall not teach everyone. This is the next verse in the covenant. They shall not teach everyone his fellow citizen and everyone his brother, saying, know the Lord. Let's read this all together. For all will know me, from the least to the greatest of them. You know, in the Old Testament, one time Moses, like, God was speaking to everyone in Israel. And then the people were like, we can't take it. Moses, can he just speak to you and then you speak to us? It was distant. And then the high priest went into the Holy of Holies one time per year, and it was only him. And then everyone had to come out. Everyone had to, like, hear what he said when he came out. But the New Testament is this. All will know me. Every single person. I don't know. Sometimes people say, like, can you pray for me? They think, like, oh, Tarina's super spiritual. So then Jasmine would ask Tarina, you're so spiritual. Could you pray for me? And then, you know what? You don't have to do that. Although you could ask Tarina to pray for you. But all know him. Everyone. When did you become a Christian? August of last year. Come on. August of last year? You're so young. When I was baptized. Ask me when I was baptized. I was baptized. 1989. Who knows? Christ. See? He's a toddler. He's a Christian toddler. Yeah, I know. So you should ask me. Pray for me. Ask me to pray for you. Yes, I know. I know him. No, I could ask you. Can you pray for me? Yeah. Oh, we'll know him. All will know him. And then, thank you, you sit down. And then, you know, that knowing is like a real experiential knowing. It's kind of like this. It's like this. The knowing is so intimate. Just like we were describing, like, I know him. If you saw a picture of me, it'd be like, okay, I see him. You can see my driver's license picture. And then it's like, do you know Rex? Yes. But this knowing is more like this, like you actually can talk to me. You actually like are interacting with me. And then the promise is this, every single person in the new covenant, from the least to the greatest of them, will know me. We all know the Lord in this new covenant. It's like, oh, he's with me. You have finals coming up, right? Isn't that great? You can. Oh, you say no. Yeah, I can say it's great because I already took my finals. Lord, can you take this final with me? Can you study with me? Can you be here with me? Can you, you know, I like to be in your presence while I'm working on this, you know, this thermodynamics problem. I like to know you. I like to, you know, and all will know me. All will know me. It's like in everything. This is the glories of the new covenant.